At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Save big during Labor Day at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances. Plus, buy more to get up to an additional 20% off. Shop even more savings with 3 Stay Green 1 cubic foot vegetable and flower garden soil bags for $10. This Labor Day, take care of your home for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details. Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
There's nothing more satisfying than finding the perfect green paint for your living room. Except maybe popping open that can of Valspar Ultra and rolling that first smooth stroke on the wall. And there's nothing more satisfying than admiring your freshly painted wall.
Ooh.
Except maybe peeling off the painter's tape to see those crisp edges. But the most satisfying part of all? Valspar Ultra's price tag, starting at $29.98 a gallon. Affordable, durable, available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.
It's 8:08, Bob and the Clock. Partly cloudy today. Should see some sunshine tomorrow. 75 right now. Okay, wait. That's
75. It's only supposed to be 32 where I am.
It's a podcast. We don't do that stuff anymore.
No.
We talk about people being impaled by golf clubs at Minneapolis grocery stores. This is something we could never have talked about on the radio other than like in a news conversation.
We never would have done that, thankfully.
This is horrible. You got to keep wrapping your mind around like insane people and what they're capable of doing. And you're like, guy's got a golf club. He's walking. What's he going to do with it? You're like, maybe he likes to golf. Maybe he's looking for, maybe there's something wrong with the club. Maybe he needs to get like some tape. Duct tape. I don't know. The last thing.
Yeah, but wait
I'd
a minute. It's
is,
winter. What are you doing? I mean, it's December when we're recording this. The guy was killed last Friday in
Minneapolis.
Minnesota.
Well, maybe he's winter golfing. You know, that's not really a thing, but maybe. I don't know. A man has been arrested for allegedly beating a store clerk to death and impaling him with a golf club.
How do you do that? Do you do it with the head of the club? Do you do it with the grip? Is it
impaling,
a broken shaft?
Impaling means like, well, it's not decapitating, but
no, it's like putting it through him.
Oh, God. So I'm going to guess the head broke off of the club and then.
You have to have something sharp. You couldn't just put a golf club through somebody's body.
Well, especially if you have the head, but if the club's off, it's. Just kind of that that end, which I guess depending on your club could be kind of pointy and sharp. But I don't know. You'd really need, I think, a little bit of oomph to make that work to get that in there. I'm not trying to be gross, but I'm just trying to think logistically how this even happens.
Well, and it feels really premeditated. Why, again, it's Minnesota in the winter. Why are you walking around with a golf club? Your golf club should be put away by now.
Kind of reminds me of like something in the TV show or the movie Fargo, which, far. Weird things happen in winter when this is why we need the daylight savings to go away. People start getting really depressed and doing weird shit when you have only so many hours of light and mostly dark.
My happy light sitting next to me right now as we speak.
It's 3:30 in the afternoon right now, and I'm guessing it's starting to get dark there.
Yep, the sun's going down. In about 40 minutes, it'll be down.
Can't do it. The tragic event unfolded just before 2 o'clock on a Friday, leaving the local community in shock and mourning the loss of a beloved individual. According to a press release from the Minneapolis Police Department, officers responded to a call for a stabbing at the Oak Grove grocery store. Upon arrival, they discovered the store clerk, a 66-year-old man identified as Robert Skaft. Did I say it right?
Skafty,
I'm sorry. Behind the counter with a golf club impaled through his torso. Can you imagine? I mean, this concept, you know, it's like, it's almost Christmas. You're stopping into the Oak Grove grocery store to pick up, you know, crescent rolls. And there is the beloved guy that is, you always see there. Hey, how you doing? And he's impaled with a golf club in his torso.
And here's the thing. This was a local neighborhood grocery store. Everybody in this neighborhood knew this guy. They knew of his history. Wait till you get to the history of this guy. He wasn't just somebody who lived in Minneapolis. He came from California. He had quite the artistic background. He was beloved by everybody. And even somebody I went to high school with was posting on Facebook that she knew him. She lives in this neighborhood. She saw him all the time.
First responders rushed Skafty to the hospital, but unfortunately he succumbed to his injuries. A witness at the scene identified a 44-year-old suspect who had allegedly carried out the brutal assault. Police tracked the suspect to a nearby apartment where he barricaded himself to handle the situation. Minneapolis police deployed the SWAT team, a drone unit, and negotiators. What's a drone going to do at this point when he's barricaded? It's just like,
we got a drone.
Let's break it out.
And that's the thing. Usually with, you know, if somebody's got a drone, they want to use it. But maybe they went and hovered by the balcony just to make sure he wasn't, like, standing there with a bomb attached to himself.
Oh, I could see that. Yeah, almost like kind of treat it like you're going in and observing the Titanic. You're going to the window, like, ooh, let's see what's in the cabin here. That makes sense. Until the guy shoots the drone out of the sky.
Most drones are not cheap. They're like $1,000 a piece, man. Oh,
yeah. After a tense 6-hour standoff, law enforcement was successful in coaxing the suspect out of the apartment. At this time, the identity of the suspect has not been disclosed and the motive behind the murder remains unknown. Minneapolis Police Chief Brian O'Hara provided some details about the incident, stating it appears that the suspect then went behind the counter and began to assault and bludgeon the individual behind the counter in a very grotesque way. While the police did not release the victim's name, the Oak Grove store where Skafty worked paid tribute to him on Facebook, saying, "We are devastated by the death of Robert Skafty, the heart and soul of the Oak Grove grocery and the entire Loring Park community." The store describes Skafty as a good neighbor, a true friend, and a best teammate. Robert Skafty was not only known for his work at the grocery store, but also for his talent in dance. He trained in dance with West Side Ballet in California during the 80s. He was a professional dancer with the Kansas City Ballet from 84 to 94 before relocating to Minneapolis. For 2 decades, he performed at the dance company Ballet of the Dolls, according to Minneapolis NBC and affiliate KARE. Additionally, Skafty was an active member of his community, overseeing the farmer's market in Stevens Square for 16 years. His contributions to the community were widely acknowledged and appreciated.
Yeah, he was just a beloved member of his community. From everybody's postings on Facebook about him, there wasn't a horrible, mean bone in his body. And then this asshole comes along. Why?
Because we don't do anything about people until they do horrible things. Now, I don't know. I don't know what the story is on this guy, how well he was known or what would have driven somebody like this to do something. I would imagine there may have been a couple warning signs of the guy that did this. Maybe. I don't know. I could be completely wrong, but yeah.
We need to do a better job of mental health policing in our world. And I know that's going to spur up a whole, you know, hornet's nest here, but we're failing. Okay. A society, we are failing. We're failing each other. We're failing the entire planet Earth. We need to do a better job of caring for people.
Well, that would require people caring to begin with. And I don't know. I don't want to be like super pessimistic, but it's like, I don't know. I feel like we've kind of gone past the point of no return.
I think so.
I don't know that there's necessarily let's turn this back around and society is going to change or fix itself. I think we've conditioned too many generations to be very, very self-centered and narcissistic. And you always have some people in there who break that mold? Of course. And there's plenty of great, nice people out there. But I don't know. I think the train has left the station on this. And we've spent too many years doing nothing about it. And now good luck getting that train back. But so that's your happy thought of the day, everybody, as you start your work day.
I'll preface it by saying maybe we can make a difference if, and I don't want this to be, oh, all happy, love you, whatever. But what if one person, just one person, decides to do something nice for another person?
That's a good thing. I think we should always try to do good and be positive with each other. And I'm not saying this, everybody give up, but I'm saying...
Right. I know. You're being realistic, though.
People are going to be out there that are like this. And until we get some sort of better idea on how to handle everyone and stop giving every person who has 1,000 red flags the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're going to keep having this shit. We need to stop giving the benefit of the doubt when people are exhibiting behaviors to themselves or others that are questionable and possibly dangerous. And especially when it comes to mental health, because it's not that far of a cry when people are making threats or saying weird things, or and weird meaning threatening or harmful or hurtful or hateful. Mm-hmm. It's not that far of a thing to go out on and say, maybe they'll actually act on that someday, rather than like, they're all talk. You know, I think a lot of people used to be all talk. The thing is, we made it far too easy for them to not be all talk anymore. And when people reach a certain breaking point with their mental illnesses and mental health, they do horrible things. So what's the answer? I don't have it. But we don't really do a whole lot right now other than go, well, should have said something. It's like we do a lot and nobody does anything. That's the problem.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
And no one can.
I'm sitting here feeling helpless. Like there has to be something that people can do to change the tide, because our species can't continue like this. If we were animals, we're basically attacking one another, and we just can't keep doing it. Even if you've got a pet that does something bad, you put them in a timeout, you put them in a cage, you put them, until they settle down. Maybe we need to start doing that with people.
Putting people in cages. I think we do. It's called jail or prison. But unfortunately, we just like block up a lot of the wrong people, and we don't do a whole lot with the glaring problems that are out there.
People need more timeouts.
Yeah, I agree. We call it something nice and warm and fuzzy, not like we're arresting you and putting you in jail. Like, hey, it's timeout time. Hey, we got gummy bears over here. Come here. Have some of these gummy bears. They're really, really good.
And all for it.
And it's all like weed gummies, and it just chills the shit out of everybody.
That'd be amazing.
you want the solution? You want the easy solution? Here's what it is. Give everybody weed gummies, every person. And it's all you can eat anytime you want them. They're just there. You're going to have the chillest society in the world. And we wouldn't have this stuff anymore.
I want to go there. Wherever the society is, I want to go there.
Take me there. I want to go there. Yeah. It's going to be a cult that I develop in northern Montana on a very large fenced off piece of land, which the government eventually invades and it turns into Ruby Ridge. But,
I'll be the mayor.
All the gummies you can eat, everybody.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.